Welcome to the Strength Talking Shop podcast, where I'm your host, Matt Smith. On the Strength Talking Shop podcast, we talk all things strength, fitness, nutrition, strongman, powerlifting, whatever has to do with strength, we're going to talk about it here. Our presenting sponsor is Optimum Nutrition Athletics. We all know that protein is the key to muscle recovery, and Gold Standard's best-selling 100% whey protein provides 24 grams of protein that mixes easily using just a glass and spoon. Gold Standard 100% whey, it's made in their state-of-the-art facility, it's banned substance tested by Informed Choice, and with Optimum Nutrition Athletics program, you can get different items such as their Pro Gainer, which is their mass gainer, protein snacks such as the crisp bars, wafers, cake bites, and almonds, and after dominating the sports nutrition industry for over 30 years, newly created Optimum Nutrition Athletics brings that same trust and quality that knows how to put convenient options for protein in the hands of athletes who desire to become bigger, stronger, and better at their sport. If this is something that you are interested in, please make sure you reach out to Dave Harvey of Optimum Nutrition Athletics, who's going to have all your needs and everything that you need in regards to getting that. So down in the show notes, make sure you reach out to Dave Harvey of Optimum Nutrition Athletics, where you can get those products into your weight room. Absolutely wonderful products. I love using the whey after every single workout that I have. I love the protein snacks on the go. Grab me some almonds real quick. Grab me some crisps. He just sent me the chocolate crunch ones. I mean, they're amazing. So good. So thank you for Dave Harvey and Optimum Nutrition Athletics for being our sponsor. And now for our guest this week, it is Brian Torres. He is the strength and conditioning coordinator and the assistant athletic director at the Tabor Academy up in Massachusetts. Wonderful episode where we dive into his role being the strength and conditioning coordinator, how he trains his athletes. Absolutely awesome episode. Thank you for Coach Torres for being on this week's episode. Thank you to all of our past guests. Thank you to all of our future guests as well. If you guys really liked this episode, make sure you share it on social media, share it with your other colleagues, share it with somebody you think that might be interested in listening to the podcast. And if you're listening to it on Apple, give it that 5-star review as well, rate review and everything. Appreciate everybody that listens to the podcast. I hope everybody had a great 4th of July. I did too as well. Got a lot of great things coming up here with our guests. Again, this is Coach Torres here of the Tabor Academy. And everybody, stay strong. What's up, Strength Talking Shop podcast? Excited to have the powerful Coach Brian Torres here on the podcast. He is the assistant athletic director and the strength and conditioning coordinator at the Tabor Academy in Massachusetts. What's going on this morning, brother?
Hey, man. It's a nice day here. We're getting some good weather, so I'm pumped, man. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Very excited to have him on. Kind of how we connected is we connected through a little bit of music, through one of a mutual band that we both like. So I'm like, I got to get this guy on now for sure. But for the listeners, can you kind of dive in a little bit at what you guys kind of do at Tabor Academy? Obviously, I looked at, you know, your resume and stuff. You've been there for quite a long time, man. So can you kind of dive into that a little bit?
Sure. So Tabor Academy is in Marion, Mass. It's probably about a 20-minute ride from the beginning of Cape Cod. And we're a 9 through 12 boarding school. So we have about 540 students this September that are enrolled, and about 370 something. I'll probably get in trouble if I don't know that number, but somewhere around like 370, 375 boarding. So my kids are there 24/7, but that doesn't necessarily mean I have 24 access to them. The boarding school nature, like they are programmed from the minute they wake up to the minute they go to sleep. Like they wake up, they go to class, 8:30 to 3:15. That keeps changing year to year based off of different feedback we get. Our co-curricular period starts at like 3:30, so that's when all the practices are. They go 3:30 to 5:30. Dinner, our dining hall closes at like 6:30, and then they have about an hour and a half of free time. Before study hall, that's 8 to 10 in the building. So like my real window to catch my kids is between 3:30 with team workouts and then some extra stuff in the afternoon. I've built in some other programs in between to kind of make things happen, but and that's it, man. Like it's a lot of short windows of time, and you know, trying to find pockets here and there where I can get kids in the gym as opposed to like when they're coming in with their teams and stuff like that. We don't have a phys ed program, so I don't get my kids during the day. It's an interesting dynamic. And at least in the Northeast, like, that didn't surprise me one bit. They're like, yeah, you do everything after school. And the first time I went to an NSCA conference went to like one of these high school track lectures, all of a sudden it was like, yeah, we do this through our PE program. I coach 4 sessions a day in my PE program, and then I have a crew come in after school, and then I might have a team. And then, like, whoa, like, this is not what I was expecting at all in a high school, because that's just, it's starting to kind of make its way in like that. But at least in my world, like, PE just doesn't exist at my school. Everybody has to do something after school every day. So regardless if you live there or not, you're either playing sports or you're going to art after school, you're going to community service, or you're doing something every day after school. So I see my athletes a lot, but I don't exactly get them whenever I want them.
Oh, wow, that's crazy, man. Can you what about like efficiency? I imagine you've got to be super efficient with your time with all of them. So how do you kind of balance all that out?
So a few things have changed here and there. So I can tell you that it's been a process of, like, we've had just a strength conditioning group after school with kids who are out of season, and that's their after school activity. And then trying to balance that with in-season workouts. So essentially what I try to do is I try to get all of my teams in for a half hour twice a week. Yeah. And it's a very, at least if you're in season, and that's a very, like, vanilla program. A lot of, like, Dan John kind of stuff, like squat, hinge, push, pull. The room that I was in before wasn't conducive to carries, so we kind of did some other stuff. But, I would probably replace a lot of the carry stuff with some sort of plyometric or some sort of power exercise and just kind of go from there and keep it pretty simple as far as in season. And then my out of season kids, they would come in during, at least where we were before, when we were doing the strength conditioning program, we stopped it, tried to make it more team based. And then kids would come in either for extra work during that open time, after practice and before study hall. So we're looking at, like, twice a week for a half hour at a time. It's got to be really efficient. It's like, come in, do something quick for mobility, break in a few groups. There's the timer. You've got X amount of time to finish your first set of exercises. All right, break, get a drink, come back, second set of exercises. It's probably the room swapping places, one half going to one side, one going to the other. And you're making your way out the door, put everything away, get ready for the next group to come in.
Wow. Yeah. So you got to be super efficient with that time. They got to know exactly what they're doing. So I imagine then you probably, like, exercise selection, it's something that they you have really pounded into their head. They really understand it. It's quick. So they know, boom, I can do this. And it's easy for you to coach.
Yeah. It's easy stuff, right? Like, I'm not, there's no time, right? As much as I would love to do, like, velocity based training and other stuff, like, it's pretty simple. It might be some sort of squat, and it's like, all right, you're going to, I would love to say that kids are great about understanding what the RPE is, but, you know, just, was it hard? All right, good. Do you feel like you can do a little bit more? Throw some more weight on, you know, like, I underutilize Team Builder. I'm lucky enough that my school pays for it. But when you're under that kind of time crunch, I've just gotten to the point where it's like, if my athletes are rushing to fill out a card or fill out an app, I'm losing their training time. So we're just trying to keep moving and feel good about yourself, get what you need to get done. So, like, if we're going to squat, it's going to go anywhere between, like, a goblet squat to, like, a safety bar squat. I love front squatting, but I'm not doing a ton of front squatting with my in-season kids, especially if I haven't seen them, because to me, I have to do more coaching up with a front squat than I do with a safety bar. And stuff like that. So, and we might be squatting to a box or to a ball or something like that. So we're trying to keep it pretty simple. Like, I'm not doing a ton of Olympic stuff in season, especially if it's a fall and it's a new team. And we have a lot of kids come in as sophomores and juniors that I've just never coached. So I don't have, you know, I'm not going to spend the training time teaching them to do a clean when I could, you know, all right, we're going to train power through plyometrics. Anybody can learn how to jump. kind of stuff. So that's just basically how we have to be efficient. And again, it's pretty vanilla. It's pretty simple.
Yeah, and I've kind of found that to be the most beneficial with working with any kind of athlete, whether that's high school, middle school, college. Basically, just keep it simple. Do those submaximal weights, and you're going to get the biggest bang for your buck. I'm sure you've kind of found that too as well.
Totally, man. You try to make things complicated and crazy and sexy, it can take a dive real quick, man. You keep it simple, and the kids, they're going to get a little bored. I agree, you know. And when you see it being stagnant, you make some changes, and you know that's the day where that workout turns into, all right, hey, you guys are here, awesome, let's go play dodgeball, let's go do something completely different, so you have some fun, right? Or like that's the day we do some sort of Metcon circuit and we bust up battle ropes and stuff like that, you know. But yeah, it's you get a lot from simple work, and I think that's the tough part, that a lot of, you know, one of my favorite things is the embrace the suck thing, right? I don't put that up on the wall because I'm working in high school, but right, like, and you have to embrace the grind. If you want to see the results you're looking for, you have to embrace it. If you're not embracing it, like if you're not committed to coming in and grinding, right? Like grinding is probably the wrong word. It's probably consistency, more of like, you got to be consistent. Come in and just come in and keep doing the work and keep doing the work and keep doing the work. Oh, you're bored? Keep doing the work. Keep doing the work kind of thing. How do we make this better situation for you? But it's going to happen, man. Like that's unfortunately the nature of the beast.
Well, there's a great quote. I think I got it here. I'm trying to find it real quick, but it's basically that Dan John basically talks about that. It's funny that you said that in the beginning where, yeah, here it is. Mm-hmm. Most champions are built by punch the clock workouts rather than extraordinary efforts. And man, you just
nailed it. His bunch press and his butt bench and park bench, like that's the way to explain it the best, right? Like you want to get going, you got to wait for the bus and get on the bus and go. You want to just chill out and do your thing, like you've hit what you need to do and kind of maintain, all right, you're on the park bench. It's almost like, I'm gonna get killed a little bit here, but you know, use that metaphor, it's like you're on the bus side of season, you're in the park during the season, right? Like you're kind of hanging out, trying to not mess up what we've done in the off season. Now that doesn't necessarily work for me because my kids are a lot of like 2 and 3 sport athletes. So we have to be on the bus a little bit in season, but that's a great way of explaining it.
Well, and I think of it even with my own training, but then when you think of that with athlete training, it's such an easy concept to think about. And two, you as a coach, it makes your job a lot easier on what you're going to do for that day, because it kind of brings that coaching eye just a little bit better too as well, because you're able to dissect things so much easier throughout the warm-up and throughout the workout. And then two, when you're looking at your annual plan, it's like, okay, I remember during this phase, like the kids got a little bit bored. Now I can change that up things for next year. You know what I mean?
Totally. And I'm programming every 3 weeks. I've gone away from creating this like 12-week program. I have an idea of what I want to do over the 12 weeks, but I'm rewriting everything every 3 or 4 weeks just because you can see it, right? Like you write a crappy 3-week program, you're going to find out real fast. And it's like, all right, I have to make some changes and I have to do it quick, right? And I am very much like we have to do it this way kind of person. It's just the way I was, you know, I learned how to work out. It's the way I played sports. And it's like, these are the rules. You follow them. Like, you know, if I get twitchy, if I have a workout that I wrote for myself and I'm doing set A and then I go to set C because no, I set it up so it goes A, B, C kind of deal, right? So if I write a 12-week program, I have to finish the 12 weeks. So I try to keep the 3 weeks and kind of readjust as we need to. And part of it is like, there are some teams that they're going to do better, right? Like I might have, right? I like this idea of, and I don't know if you've ever heard it. I've heard it at NHSCA conferences and stuff like that. Like people talk about this unified, not uniform program. And when you have to be efficient, guess what? Like the 3 workouts that day are going to look very, very similar, right? Like if we're going to squat that day, we're going to squat that day because, you know, I might have to take time away. I don't want to have to take time away from reconfiguring the rack for, you know, a front squat to a bench press or whatever. Right? Like that just takes time away from the workout. So if we can set it up where, you know, I need to change that squat because I have this team that, all right, you're not doing great with a bar on your back. Like I start after 2 weeks and it it wasn't great. So we're going to go back to goblet squats and repattern that. It's a much easier move to just throw some kettlebells there and say, all right, so team A is going to come in and you're going to get goblet squats today. Team B is going to come in and they're going to safety bar squat, right? And kind of go from there. So that's how I'm making those adjustments a lot of times.
Man, that's easy adjustments that you can do on the fly. But again, you're also putting your athletes, again, in the best situation for it. Isn't that what it's supposed to be? I mean, they're still getting the same stimulus that you wanted to get out of it. It's just a different kind of movement pattern. And two, you're probably building up the movement pattern a little bit more efficiently. So when they move on to the next level, whether that be, boom, they've got it already down.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I have some programs that, you know, the athletes on that team, they may not feel comfortable with a bar on their back, right? They may not feel comfortable pressing a bar. So it's like, all right, then let's give you something that you're going to get a training stimulus with. It's not, you don't have to be married to a certain set of exercises. Just because I'm trying to be simple doesn't mean that I have to be married to one overhead press, one horizontal press, one vertical. Like we can adjust here as we need to, but we don't have to be married to stuff. Like let's face it, like as much as I'm working with high school athletes and high school coaches are, like, we have to listen to the athletes at some point. Like if they're unhappy doing a specific exercise, all right, don't give it to them anymore. Right? Like I believe that. Like we have plenty of tools in the toolbox. Like let's figure this out. Now on the other end of it, like you're unhappy doing front squats because you want to do back squats. Hey man, sorry. That's a different story. We're here, we're progressing. Like you're gonna live with the front squat for a little bit. I understand it sucks. We can regress it. Like if you don't want to do that and you want to regress it to like a kettlebell front squat, I'm more than happy to do that. But I'm not gonna progress you if I don't think you're ready to progress, or I'm trying to get something different from, you know, this training block. Right. And what I tell a lot of my kids, like, you want to do some of the sexier exercises, like on your off day when you don't have a team workout or you don't have a strength conditioning workout that day, because like that, I'll explain how we're going to do it in the fall in a bit. That's your day to come and do the sexy stuff. You want to do hang cleans and we don't have time to do it during your team workout, come on and ask. I'm more than happy to work with you then, you know, but understand, like, in a group setting with 25 kids in a room and we got to be efficient and quick, like we're going to make things pretty simple and we can be a little bit more complex on the back end.
You know, you kind of like answered the question to combat that with the athlete that they want a back squat, but they're doing the front squat, is you told them the why behind everything.
Totally.
So yeah. Simple, right?
It's really simple. And the one thing that I found, and my kids at my school are pretty intelligent. Like they are very, very driven students. Like I have one advisee, he's going to be a junior next year. He's in 2 honors and 3 advanced placement classes next year. Right. And that's par for the course, right? It, like that's one of those, like we don't do any zero block or like preschool stuff because our kids are up late doing homework. And that's something that came through in a survey they threw out there. And like, no, we actually pushed our start of school back from 8 to 8:30 about 5 years ago. And we were pretty much told, like, don't program anything in the morning. Now, if the kids want to get up and get into the fitness center in the morning and they have an adult that wants to take them in there, like a coach or something like that, like that's fine. But like, there are no morning practices. The only program that has early practices is our crew team, because we're right on the water and there are some mornings that's the only time the water's flat, right? It's like glass out there and they're going to take advantage of it. But other than that, like, please don't ask kids to do anything before the first block of the day.
How are you educating the athletes as far as, like, you know, you just talked about it, like their sleep, nutrition and stuff like that as well, because that's a lot of stressors. I'm sure being at a boarding school, being at a high, like you just talked about that one athlete, like that's a lot of stuff to be dealing with.
Our stress level is high, man. Our kids are stressed. It's crazy. Their junior year, basically, I would love to say that my kids aren't stressed between like the start of junior year and acceptance letters coming out their senior year, but man, they are, they're high strung and they're doing everything they can to get their stuff done. I can try to tell them, hey, you have to sleep. You need to get your sleep. Like, make sure you're getting 8 hours. Like, you're going to wake up at 7:30. That means you should be in bed by 11:30, right? Like, lights out, like in our dorms, lights out are at 10 o'clock. You know, like you should be asleep by 11 o'clock. And they're like, Yeah, no, I have an English paper, history paper, and this due. And I'm like, well, didn't you work on it going through? Like, I wanted to, but the day before I had whatever science homework and this homework and this homework. And, you know, I had 4 hours of homework every night. I'm taking a really heavy course load. I'm like, I can't argue with you. You know what I mean? So those are the kids that when they come through and they're like, hey, coach, I got nothing today. You got nothing today. That's fine, man. Like, I get it. Like, if we're in a team workout, I try to tell them, like, do your best. You know, I don't want to give you something different, because there's always the kid who's like, this is my opportunity to go do something different. You know, like this is my opportunity to back off. Right. So I just kind of tell them, like, be smart about your weight selection, you know, especially, again, if it's in season, like, we're not doing a ton of, like, absolutely programmed weights. You know, like, right. If you're back squatting 185 or whatever, if one of my kids hears this, they're going to laugh at me because I never have basketball. But, you know, like, if you're squatting 185 typically, and it's like, coach, I don't got it today. All right, you want to just front squat 135 this week, this session, go right ahead. Like, I'm not going to hammer you for it. Just get in, get out. If you're really feeling that crappy, like, there's a bike over there, just go ride the bike, do something, recover, do what you got to do, you know. Because to me, like, that, I'd like to say that I'm a little different than a lot of strength coaches. I hope I'm not. But, like, to me, like, your education is first, man. You got to get your studies in. You got to get that stuff in. Like, at some point, this sports stuff is going to end, right? Like, and you're looking at somebody who didn't play college sports. So I know it ends real fast for some people. So if you're not ready for freshman year of college, not playing sports and need to do your stuff, like, you're going to do what I did and you're going to struggle freshman year, you know? So, like, there's more to it than just prepping for your season and playing your sport. Like, you know, you're in college, like, I'm going to push a kid who's going to play college sports completely different than, you know, the everyday kid who is playing soccer or playing volleyball or playing ice hockey, who's like, I enjoy it, I love it, I'm passionate about it.
Yep.
But there might not be a future for me. All right, dude, then let's have a good time, work hard. I'm going to teach you that exercise is important. Hopefully when you walk into a Planet Fitness later in life, you don't do something that you're not supposed to do and you don't hurt yourself. And that's my goal for that person.
I love that. You're teaching them for not just the next couple of years, you're teaching them for a lifetime. That's totally the whole aspect of it. But to kind of go back on what you said a little bit ago, as far as, like, the, you know, your athletes coming in and maybe they don't feel so good, or maybe they do feel good. That goes back to you as a coach building their relationship and being able to have that dialogue back and forth with them. I think that's probably the biggest message you could probably take from all of that, is, like, if you can build the relationship to where the athlete feels comfortable enough saying, hey, Coach Torres, like, I'm just not feeling it today. Okay, we're going to go ahead and do the front squats. I think, boom, right there, you've already, you know, kind of sealed the deal as far as, like, getting that buy-in and everything with the athlete too as well.
Yeah, man. Yeah. One thing with me during sessions, I try to talk to everybody at least once, right? Even if it's just a hello. There are some kids that I know that they're just not chatty people, right? Like, you get a hello and a fist bump, like, that's a lot out of that kid.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then you have others that, like, they'll monopolize your time 15 minutes out of that workout because they just want to talk, you know? So, and that is, it is what it is. And you're just, you know, as a coach, it's like, all right, I'm there for the kids. Like, let's connect with the kids however we need to connect with the kids, you know? And yeah, you know what I mean? The biggest thing about high school strength and conditioning, at least in my mind, are the relationships, right? Like, at the end of the day, and I've had this plenty of times, right? The kids who just never buy in to your training philosophies and what you're doing. And, you know, and I have kids that train at a bunch of different facilities during the summer. Like, my kids are boarding school kids. They take off, they live 2-3 hours away. So they get them to come back and train with me during the summer. It's not going to happen, right? I can send them home with a summer program. It may not happen because they're going to go see somebody. And in my mind, like, I would rather them go and get good coaching over the summer than follow my program and do it haphazardly and not do a great job.
Right.
And a lot of my kids have the means to be able to find somebody to go to, right? Like, I don't want to mention names because I don't want to name drop. Like, I have kids going here. Like, that doesn't mean anything to me, but I know that they're going to some really good facilities, getting some really good coaching. And I'm not that kind of person. It's like, no, you can't go there. You got to follow what I'm asking you to do. It's more like, when you get back, please follow what we're doing and kind of go in line with what we're trying to do, because what we're trying to do isn't so much about you now, it's about us.
Right.
You know, and that's the big thing with you know, just high school strength and conditioning. But back to the other point, right? Like the kids you never buy in, there are some kids who've been training at these facilities since they were 10.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's the philosophy they've hit. That's what they've learned. This is what they've done forever. This is what they've bought into that system, and asking them to buy into something different, it's going to be hard and it's going to be challenging. And a lot of times my first question is, well, you have aspirations to play at the next level. What are you going to do at the next level when, you know, there's much more pressure on you to pay attention and do what you're being asked to do? And a lot of them turn around and they go, well, I'm just going to do it. It's like, all right, man, sure. But a lot of those kids, I have unbelievable conversations about why I'm trying to do what I'm doing with my program and what they're getting at other places. And we actually have really good relationships outside of the weight room, right? Like they're the ones going, hey, Coach B, how's it going? Like in the hallway. And I'm like, that kid doesn't do anything in the weight room, but he loves saying hi. He loves having conversations, right? Like it's there. So for me, like, yes, do I want every kid like bought into the program? Yes, 100%. But like having kids that like come up to you and say hi in the hallway, or like when you're in the dining hall, like they go out of their way, or like they'll crack a joke because they're behind you, like that's awesome. Like that's the kind of stuff that I really love about high school strength coaching.
Yeah, I love that. That's great that you said that. No, you know, you said that sometimes they'll go far away for the summer. How are you kind of handling things when kids come back in the fall, maybe, or the kids that have stayed for summer and everything? How does the fall kind of look like for you then?
It's simple, right? Like we go back to the basics, right. and we kind of slow down how much we're doing in a session. You know, the first week or two might just be a simple. And a lot of it is I'm looking at the roster and I know who's on the team and who's not, and you know, who have I communicated with throughout the summer and who have I seen, and then the other one are, where have you gone, what have you done? So like if we're gonna go, like, again, I'll use the banjo on like squat, hinge, push, pull kind of stuff, right? Like squat's gonna be a goblet squat, push might just be push-ups for the day, or it might be like a half kneel overhead press with a dumbbell. You know, the hinge could just be a kettlebell RDL. You know, just very simple stuff, right? An inverted row might be the pull, and nothing, I'm not letting the world on fire. We're not doing a ton in the amount of time because we're trying to get back into the rhythm of, hey, you have X amount of time to do this workout in this space. Like, let's just get used to working in time. And then we'll start to throw in some extra stuff, right? Like a set of two exercises might turn into a set of three exercises. And that's where I'm going to start to get a little bit more of like that injury mitigation stuff. And like, we might throw some band reps in there. We might throw some extra core work in there and stuff like that. But we just start out slow and we progress. And basically, if the season is 12 weeks, you just, again, almost like a linear build of 12 weeks. And we're going to start down here. And we're just going to work our way up.
Boy, how important is that, though, being able to start them off slow? So many people would probably just throw the kids right back into the fire once they get back. And I just love that you talked about that slow progression of getting them used to the weight room again, because maybe they didn't do anything. You got to probably assume that, like, what is it? Buddy Morris talks like a third of the athletes do the program, a third of them don't, you know, and a third of them just, you know, whatever, you know, kind of half did it. You know what I mean?
I would say, like, if I had 100 kids in the room, I would have 25 that did something of substance, 50 who may have done something, may have not, and then 25 who were like, yeah, I went to the beach every day, man. Like, all right, cool. Good for you, man. I wish I went to the beach every day.
But see, right? And that's nothing against them for doing that, right?
No, yeah, that's like, that's their thing. Like, you're on summer vacation. Exactly. And it's on you, right? Like, it's like everything else in life. Like, you want a life lesson? It's on you. You want to do something? If you want to get to point B and you're at point A, it's your job to drive to point B. If you don't want to drive to point B, you're not going to get to point B. So that's fine. And it is what it is. And, you know, we go back to, hey, that team workout's going to be pretty simple. That kid who's done nothing all year or all summer is going to get a good workout. The kid who has done a little bit will get something out of it and may want a little more. And the kids who've done everything that you've asked them are going to be like, Coach, come on, man. And that's when I turn around and go, all right, that open extra time, that's what it's there for. Like that's where you get your extra work in. You want to do the big things?
Love it.
I'm in then. Like that's when we're gonna get those that's when we're gonna get more, right? Like just look at this workout with your team is bare bones. Like this is the absolute minimum we need to do in order to stay healthy as a team. Like we're not looking at a ton of progression here in like building and hey, we're not gonna put 20 pounds on a deadlift. I'm sorry, 20, yeah, you might put on 20 pounds with some kids, but right? Like you're not gonna start hitting PR deadlift if we're gonna trap our deadlift here. A, we don't have the time for rest periods and stuff like that. And B, like it's just not what it's designed for, right? Like if I'm gonna give kids a trap bar deadlift in that workout, it's to start to groove the pattern and get them to learn and get them doing stuff. And hopefully that lights this, you know, lights a fire somewhere for them to do a little bit extra elsewhere.
What I like is that you've set it up to where it's so easy that if they need to go do that in the summer or wherever it is on their own, they already know what to do. So it's so easy for them to look at whatever you sent them and to be like, oh yeah, we did this 100 times already. So it's easy for them to do.
Yeah, totally. You know, and some of it is like, if the kids want to go in and they're doing it and then you find out like, hey coach, I did something different for 2 weeks. All right, you did something different for 2 weeks. Did you mess yourself up? No. What did you do? Like, I'm going to ask them that, right? Like, right. Did you find an Instagram program and you did it for 2 weeks? You know what? I don't necessarily, I don't like it. I don't want you doing that, but sometimes it's healthy just to do something different because sometimes they'll do it and be like, yeah, no, I don't like that. I'm not going to do that again. And then there's some kids who just fall in love with it and you're like, why did I say you can do that? So like, it's a double-edged sword, right? Like, yeah, it just comes down to, like for me, a majority, like, yes, I have some kids going to play some like high caliber athletics later on, right? Like I can talk about where some of my athletes have gone, who they are, what they're doing, like, but it's not about that, right? Like that kid is no more important than, again, the kid who sat on the beach all summer, comes out for football on day one and is in the gym, right? Like I got to give the same attention to both of those kids and understand where they are. And it's kind of right, like, I joke with a lot of the kids, like I am the most laid back strength and conditioning coach you're ever going to have, right? I'm not a screamer. I'm not somebody who's like rah, rah, and blowing a whistle everywhere and doing that kind of stuff. Like that's just not me. It's not my personality. Like I'll get excited for you. But like, yeah, it's just who I'm just not that guy, right? Like I'll get super excited when somebody does something really awesome. I'm going to jump. I'm going to scream. I'm going to do everything. But like, when you hit a PR that you're supposed to hit, it's like, hey man, good job. And they're like, that's all I get. That's all you get. Sorry, dude. Like, here's a high five. Let's keep going. Cause that's the game. If I give you that like ultimate, like rah, rah, like this is awesome. You did everything great. And it's like, all right, now what? Right? Like,
right.
Like we just made something super exciting for you to go back to block A.
Yep. Then they expect that every single time.
And it's like, no man, like this isn't about me being excited for you. This is about you being excited for you, kind of deal, right? Like, and it's your teammates who should be getting behind you and making you feel great about this stuff. Like I can be excited all I want, but you know, and it's a hard thing. Like I have to explain to kids and I explain to coaches, like I have no control over your playing time. If you want to work hard in the gym, like this is high school sports, let's face it, like your fastest kid is going to play at one point or another, right? Like, right? Like on the lacrosse team, I joke about it with my lacrosse coach. I'm like, you have a kid who's really fast and can't catch and throw, but they can cover somebody on defense. They're going to find their way onto the field, even if it's for 5 minutes a game.
Yep.
Right. And it's like that in a lot of sports, right? They might not, they could barely finish a layup, but if they're quick and can play defense and you tell them and go, you know, go be a rabbit and hang on that kid for 5 minutes and make them tired and make them work to get to the basket and foul out. I don't care. Right. Like, like go do that. That kid's always going to find their way on the court or on the field or whatever. Right. Your best athlete doesn't matter how hard they try in the weight room. Like I'm at a school of 500. It seems like that's a big school, but like we probably have about 200 legitimate, like I like athletics. I like sports. I care about sports. This is what I'm going to do after school. We have plenty of kids who are in the arts and doing other things, you know? So like when you're getting to those smaller numbers, like your best athletes are your best athletes and they're going to play whether they train or not.
Right.
And now it's like, for me, I see a lot of it's like, all right, the kids who are really good athletes and train and do all the extra stuff are usually the kids who are going to reach a little bit further than where they would probably get to in college sports had they done nothing. Right. Like sometimes that's the kid who's a high D3 and finds their way to a low D1 kind of stuff. Right.
Gotcha.
Right. Or like gets recruited someplace that they didn't think they had a snowball's chance of getting in academically. And they're like, no, you're a decent athlete. You're good. You know, you're a good student and we're happy to take you, you know, but if you don't come and play soccer for us, you're not getting it. Right.
Exactly. So they're like,
oh, okay. So like that's the kind of change that like, I see what we're doing. Like that's the change in trajectory that we're getting at for those like higher level athletes, you know, and our better athletes and stuff like that. But like, it's on you, man. Like, I know that doesn't matter. I can go to coach and say, yeah, so-and-so dogged the entire workout. Okay. They're not getting benched.
Right.
Right. So like that's on you to be a good leader and get your teammates going and make them realize that like, no, you're still here working hard. But if you don't work hard, like, I can't control anything. Like, I can get mad at you all I want in the gym, but I can't control your play. So
we've all seen that the best athletes on the field are some of the worst athletes in the weight room. And it's
totally,
and it's, you know, and what the weight room is supplementary to the field, in my opinion.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm the same. I agree 100%. Like, you know, I had this argument with a coach one time and he was older and whatever. Right. Like, and I said, I am never going to make somebody a better X player. I might be able to make them a little bit stronger. I might be able to make them move better and I guess technically a little bit more athletic. But I'm never going to make somebody a better hockey player, basketball player, soccer player, you know, rower, sailor, whatever. Like, I don't have that capability. Now, I can give them the tools to be a stronger athlete or more mobile athlete. Yep. And then they can turn around and turn that into a better whatever, you know, but they also have to do that work on the back end, right? Like, I see it with, you know, I have some sports that the kids walk right by the weight room and they go to whatever facility they're going to, and you know, they're gonna go shoot a bunch of pucks, they're gonna go throw up 1,000 jump shots, they're gonna do that stuff, and it's like, all right, they're working on that craft of their game. Let's just hope that that's what they actually need at this point to get better, right? Like, you
right.
see some kids and you're like, that kid could benefit from some extra time in the weight room, but they don't. And it is what it is. And it's not my job to really harsh them and say like, no, you need to be in here. It's like, hey man, like if you want to be here, you want to be here. If your coach wants to make it a priority for you, they're going to tell you, get in the weight room.
Yeah.
You know, if your coach says that, no, getting, you know, you need to work on your free throws because you can't make a free throw in a game. You're going to go work on free throws, right? Like, so that's where the whole relationship thing comes from. Like, I'm better. My most important job there is to have great relationships with the kids and make them remember like, hey, I had an awesome time in the weight room, or I had an awesome time being around Coach B. Not necessarily always like, yeah, he had these unbelievable workouts. Like, they're not going to remember workout in 20 years from now when they come to reunion. Right.
Exactly.
Like, and that's if I'm there in 20 years, who knows? Right. Like, but like, I'm starting to see kids coming back from reunion and they're like, oh yeah, we had so much fun. We listened to like this music and we did this and we had fun playing. Like, they remember the one time you played medicine ball volleyball or do something like that. Right. Like, that's the stuff they're going to remember. So to me, I'm better at connecting with the kids that way than worrying about like these unbelievably like programmed workout. Like, I don't have the kids for that long. Right. Like, I got to make sure they have a good workout. They see some progression. If they want to do more, we'll give them the opportunity to do more.
100% agree with that. I have that same story of just like, you know, rest in peace, Coach Literacy just passed away. My high school strength coach and football coach, he made it fun. I do not remember one single workout, but guess what? To this day, I still talk about training. I love lifting mm-hmm. because he instilled that into me. That's the whole point of being a coach, is to install some great skills into them. So as we wind down here, Coach Torres, can you go ahead and kind of plug how people can reach out to you, maybe on social media or something like that, if they want to reach out to you?
Sure. I have two spots. I'm terrible with Facebook, just not Facebook. But Instagram and Twitter, my handle for Cwo Strength is TA_strength. That's what you'll see, kind of like what we do at the school and the stuff. I'm not great at posting stuff with that. That, like I said before, when we were talking, like, I use that social media a lot for like what time kids can come in, like the schedule for the day in the weight room and stuff like that. As far as like other stuff, Instagram, I use coach_btories. That's like my professional persona on Instagram. And then Twitter is @b_tory713. That's where it is. I don't do a ton of stuff. I'd probably get in trouble if I don't plug saying that I'm also the mass state director for the NHSCA. So if you want to follow that stuff, it should be at @NHSCA_MA. And that's going to be both Twitter and Instagram. And not just search it, you'll find it. You know, those are the three places that you can connect with me the most. Like, I'm on social media a lot, but I don't do a lot of posting on social media. So
yeah, make sure you guys go follow that, especially the high school account and everything like that, and then what you're doing with the Massachusetts areas too as well, because that's important stuff, man. So we'll get out of here on the last question here. What are you grateful for?
My family. I don't get to work in athletics without like my family support. Like, it goes back from like my parents to my wife and my kids now. Like, my parents, I started life as an athletic trainer. I was going to school for athletic training, and my dad was like, "What is that? Like, what are you going to school for? Like, you're getting a phys ed degree, you're playing flag football as part of like your curriculum in school. Like, what are you doing? Like, are you ever going to make any money doing this?" And I would say, "No, like, I'm going to, no," right? Like, don't expect a six-figure salary out of me, man. Like, but that's me. Like, I can't sit behind a desk and do that kind of stuff. Like, that's just not what I do. But they were supportive the whole way through. They're like, "All right, that's what you're going to do. Go do it. Get your degree, get a job, do that stuff." And then, you know, my wife, luckily, she was around. Like, we were together in college, and she saw that lifestyle that I was getting into, like, you know, the late nights and working weekends and stuff like that. And when we got married and decided to start a family, like, she's supportive of what I'm doing, right? Like, she just gets it. She's like, "Yeah, all right, you have the weight remote until 8 o'clock every night. All right, so you have the kids in the morning, I got the kids in the evening," and that's how it is. So without them, like, I don't get to do any of that, right? That's first and foremost. Like, family is the most supportive and most, I can't say it enough. Like, I cannot do my job the way I do and enjoy my job without my family support. So
that's awesome, man. Yeah. Family's everything. Family is everything. I agree. Being a new dad and everything, it's a whole different dynamic, man.
That was one thing that I don't want to say threw me for a loop, but that was the biggest, like, that was a big change of like, all right, I'm here. Like, my primary job now is to be dad. Yep. Right? How do I do what I have to do for my job and my kids here at school and be home for my son? Right. And starting to kind of find that balance and tweaking stuff around. And that's a big change that's going to happen in the next 5 years for me. Like, as he gets older and is playing more sports and doing stuff after school, like, I need to find ways to get there, right? And how am I going to be involved with, like, that? My summer's dedicated to my kids doing stuff, right? Like, right. I'm happy to be Mr. Dad Taxi all summer long and take my kids to T-ball and swimming lessons and stuff like that. When my daughter gets a little bit older, like, hey, sure, wherever you want to go, I'm in.
I love it, man. I can't agree with you more. It's the best job in the world, right? Being a parent.
Totally. Absolutely. It's the craziest job in the world and sometimes most frustrating, but it's a great job.
That's for sure. Well, Coach Torres, I cannot thank you enough for being on the podcast this week. Thank you so much, man.
Awesome, man. Thank you for having me. This is fun.
Absolutely. Well, everybody, he gave his social media out. Go reach out. Go follow him. Go listen to him. And everybody, stay strong.